Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It looks like, if you read the news, if you look at the newspapers, that the bad guys are winning. And it would seem that way in almost every facet of our lives, that the bad guys usually win. I've been watching the news this week, and it's just been horrifying. When I see images of little children in hospital beds who are suffering because of the bad guys. When I see people on mountaintops where we're dropping food and water to them, and the commentators say that many will still die of hunger and starvation, I think the bad guys are winning. It's so easy to get discouraged in a world where the bad guys are winning. I remember in the 90s when there were no wars, the Cold War was over, and we were doing quite well, and a minister got up in my parents' church. Now, my parents were wide-eyed realists. They were not pie-eyed optimists. They saw the world as it was. And this minister got up and he proclaimed that all our enemies were gone and that we would no longer have war. And they just looked at him and said, "You poor deluded fool." Because they knew, living so many decades, that evil is relentless. And you might get a break, but evil is relentless. And that's what Elijah the prophet encountered during his tenure. He was a prophet of Israel. He was a very powerful man. When he spoke, God listened. And when God spoke, he listened. And every time he made a prediction, it came true. This was a fearsome and fearless man of God. Nothing stymied him. And he stood up as a voice against evil. And at the time in Israel, there was a king named Ahab, and Ahab was an evil king. Ahab was a grasping king. Anything that was bad, Ahab had his hand in. Except he did have somebody who was even worse than he, and that was his wife Jezebel. If there was something that Ahab didn't think of doing that was bad, Jezebel did. And it seemed that Elijah had no fear of Ahab, but he was in terror of Jezebel. Because Ahab could have the bluster, but Jezebel, he knew, was going to do whatever she wanted to do. Now, at this time in the story, Elijah had a wonderful victory. He had proven once and for all that the God of Israel was the God for everyone, and that the God of Baal was a sham. And he had proven that, and he was victorious over that. He also had predicted that the drought would end, and all of a sudden a rainstorm came. So he was at the top of his game. And then he got a message, and it was from Jezebel. And Jezebel basically said, "You're a dead man." Now Elijah knew that Jezebel would not rest until she had fulfilled her aim to see him dead. So he did what any normal, courageous person would do. He ran for his life. And after he ran away, he sits down and he says to God, "Kill me now. Just take my life away. I'm no better than anybody else." He was so discouraged because he had a naivete about him. He thought that when he made this grand pronouncement and when he had this victory, that that would be the final say. But evil is relentless. And so here he was, down and discouraged, and saying, "God, just kill me. I can't do this anymore." So God arranges a talk for him. And God sends an earthquake and he sends fire. But the only time he hears God is in what we call the still small voice. And I've often said I don't like the still small voice because it usually tells me what I don't want to hear. So the still small voice asks him the question, what are you doing here? And so he says, "I'm alone. I've done all this work and it is for nothing. They're still out there. Now they want to take my life away from me. Why bother? And God doesn't tell him why bother. He says, look, I have another job for you. I want you to anoint certain people king because they're going to take care of the political situation. I want you to get a replacement for yourself. His name is Elisha. And he said, but I want to tell you something very important. You say you're alone. There's 7,000 people in Israel who haven't denied me. There's 7,000 people of good will and good conscience. You see, this is the message for the church in every age. God always has his witness. We might think that evil is prevailing and evil is relentless, but in every age, God has a witness. In every community, God has a witness. In every family, God has a witness. And the problem is that we who are the good guys sometimes feel that we are completely alone, whether we're dealing with a family problem or dealing with a community problem, and we wonder, why bother? But God tells us in every age, I have the final say, not evil. And we as a church, we as people of good faith and good conscience, need to be as relentless as the wicked ones. In my last church, we were ministering to a woman who was in prison. Now, have any of you visited in prison? Have you ever seen what prison is like? So you'll relate to this. In prison, if somebody's there and needs protective custody, that means they haven't done anything wrong in the prison population, but they need to be protected from others. Do you know what happens to them? This woman who was in prison was constantly in protective custody. She was mentally ill. She had done something pretty awful to get a long sentence. She had a 30-year sentence, and she was in a maximum security prison, mentally ill. And in protective custody, it meant that she had to wear the orange jumpsuit while everybody else got to walk around in street clothes. She would have to be escorted by a guard with her arms handcuffed behind her. And she was in solitary confinement. And every time I visited her, after the visit, she would be strip searched before she'd be put back in her cell in protective custody. Prison life is a different planet. It's a different system. Even if you go there to visit, it's almost like being in another nation. They have their own codes and their own ways of doing things. And we realized that she was not going to last too long in this kind of environment. She was also fed to the most violent women who were in the prison. And one such roommate had killed 5 people for their insurance. She had taken insurance policies out and then killed them and gotten the money. And after the 5th one, justice caught up with her. She could see that this young lady was very severely mentally ill and paranoid. So when the TV was on and there was a commercial about insurance, she'd say, oh, could you get that number for me? And she'd start playing with this young lady's mind. And I thought there was going to be a suicide if this didn't stop. I wrote letters. They were unanswered. I called. My calls were never returned. So one day when I was visiting with her, I thought, I have to do something. I walked into her counselor's office and just thrust out my hand and said, hi, and told him who I was and why I was there. He had hundreds of women he was supervising. But after being spoken to, he started to advocate for her. But we still knew that that was not the environment for her, that she needed to be someplace with psychiatric care. And there was a maximum security psychiatric prison nearby, but they didn't take people with the sentences of murder. So the church began a letter-writing campaign and wrote letters every month to the warden to ask for her to be transferred over. Now, I don't think the warden was generally a person who really cared, but I think he got so sick of seeing these letters. And then we'd call, and we'd leave messages and talk about this young woman. After a year, he finally got so sick of it, he sent her to the psychiatric prison where she had her sentence. And she ended up, the last 5 years, she was able to work for the first time in her life, hold down a full-time job. She is now out of prison, living with her mother, working. You see, evil is relentless, and systems are not created to help people. But we as a church have God on our side, and he has the last say. And sometimes we just have to keep on, no matter what. Andrea and Grayson, you're raising a child in an era where there's a lot of negativity. But I want you to teach him that God has the last word, and that everywhere he goes in this life, God has witnesses. God has people of good faith and goodwill who will love him. That's the message for the church today. God has the last say and has his witnesses everywhere. Let us not give up the good fight. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that although evil does not rest, that grace is greater than all our trouble, all our heartache. We ask that you would raise us up to continue the fight, to continue to proclaim your message of grace and peace to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.